From the National Press Club in Washington, D.C., this is Update One, the club's official podcast. It features newsworthy stories originating from the NPC facilities, as well as broader topics related to journalism, communications, press freedom, and transparency.
Welcome to Update One. I'm Bill Lovelace, a member of the National Press Club. Taking a personal account of one's health is increasingly easy as new technologies and information become available to the public, but doing so is another story. That caught the attention of journalist Will Driscoll. His new book, Your Arteries, an Owner's Manual, looks at 40 medical journal articles who help us understand if our arteries are getting clogged and what action we can take to prevent a heart attack, a stroke, or dementia. Will Driscoll, welcome to Update One.
Thank you, Bill. Glad to be here.
Well, glad to have you here as well. Look forward to talking about this new book. First, tell us a little bit about yourself and the work that you do.
Well, I'm a journalist. I write for PV Magazine USA, and I cover the renewable energy transition, things that are slowing the transition down, and policies that can speed it up.
You and I have something in common. I spent many years as an energy journalist myself and certainly covered solar as well as many other issues. So again, that's something we have in common. But here you're doing something a bit different. You build this book as an owner's manual for your arteries. It's important to note that you're not a physician nor medically trained, but you did apply your skills as a journalist to exploring this issue.
That's right, Bill. Whenever I tell someone about the book, 90% of the time, the first thing they say is, are you a doctor? So, no, I'm not a doctor. I'm a journalist, and journalists write about everything. And as you said, this book is based on 40 medical journal articles written by collectively hundreds of doctors and researchers, peer-reviewed and published in journals like the Journal of the American College of Cardiology or the Journal of the American Medical Association. So these are solid research reports that I read and compiled for this book. The other thing is that everything that's cited in the book, all information is referenced in a notes section. Most of the journal articles are available free online, so a reader can check the source document for virtually everything, all information that's in the book.
That's important to know. Well, what prompted you to write this book? Is there a personal story behind it?
Well, I was fortunate to learn that I have artery clogging, and that enabled me to get an appointment with a preventive cardiologist who helped me bring my level of bad LDL cholesterol. That's the kind that causes plaque, which leads to heart attacks and strokes. And he prescribed intensive statin therapy for me to bring my level of bad LDL cholesterol way down. And I'm very thankful for that. And I wrote the book so everyone else would have the same opportunity to get ultrasound artery screening. If that shows they have artery clogging, then they're empowered to meet with a doctor or a preventive cardiologist to take the next step and pursue healthy lifestyle choices, as the American Heart Association recommends.
Yeah, and you explain, of course, these various terms, some of which we are maybe familiar with from our own visits to the doctor, such as LDL cholesterol. You mentioned as well preventive cardiologist. What is a preventive cardiologist?
Traditionally, cardiologists did things like open heart surgery. And fortunately, there are many cardiologists that still have that interventional specialty. Preventive cardiologists are focused on preventing heart disease by prescribing a level of statin therapy that's adequate. The progression of heart disease, the progression of artery clogging can be slowed or stopped. And so preventive cardiologists are very familiar with that research and are comfortable bringing the level of bad LDL cholesterol down low enough to stop the progression of artery clogging. And, you know, a primary care doctor that's, you know, may not be familiar with that research and may not be comfortable prescribing that level of statin therapy.
What did you feel it is that people don't necessarily know about, you know, this risk of clogged arteries?
Well, I can speak from my own family history. You know, a lot of listeners will be able to relate to this. My father died of a heart attack. My mother suffered for years at the end of her life from vascular dementia, which is caused by mini strokes. And her mother had a debilitating stroke that left her in a nursing home for years. And now all of these things are largely preventable if you catch heart disease at an early stage or at any stage before these things happen. But, you know, why not catch it early so you don't have to go in for open heart surgery, what have you?
Yeah, it's an important message, but and we all understand the risks associated with these illnesses. But is it something that you feel people still don't give enough attention to when they consider their own health?
That reminds me of this article that five cardiologists, heart doctors, wrote in the Journal of the American College of Cardiology. They recommended that doctors take charge, that doctors screen their patients for artery clogging and offer intensive statin therapy to patients who have artery clogging to prevent heart attacks and strokes. And I think eventually doctors will come around to that. And in the meantime, patients have the ability to pay a private provider and get artery screening on their own. And there may be a way to get insurance coverage for artery screening. For example, the Mayo Clinic and the Cleveland Clinic both say on their websites that a patient with high blood pressure, a doctor may recommend carotid artery ultrasound exam because high blood pressure is associated with artery clogging, in other words, heart disease. And so if a doctor orders it, it's typically covered by insurance.
It is, if the doctor orders it, it is typically covered by insurance. But is it, for those who may not have insurance, is it an expensive test to get?
I don't want to name individual providers, but the book does cover that question. And someone who's living paycheck to paycheck, you know, if they have, you know, less than $400 savings, as half of Americans do, they're not going to want to spring for it. But for other people who can afford it, they can get it. And I also advocate for the government to provide free artery screening for the 30 million low-income Americans who receive their health care at federally funded community health clinics.
But is it a test that costs hundreds of dollars to get or something short of that?
The screening test is available for under $100, last I checked.
Will, have you discussed your book with cardiologists and other doctors? And if so, how do they respond?
I have not. I think the value of my book is bridging the communication divide. You know, these 40 medical journal articles were written by doctors to communicate with other doctors. And so the value of my book is to take my journalistic skills and find the story across all of these journal articles. And I looked at many more articles, but these 40, if you put them together in the right sequence, they tell quite a story that, you know, two cardiologists, for example, say that the risk scoring method that doctors use now to decide when to offer statin therapy to their patients, quote, allows heart disease to proceed unchecked for decades. And that was true in my case. I had no symptoms. And it was really a fluke that led me to get to request an artery screening exam. And that showed that I have artery clogging, mild clogging, that caused no symptoms, but the fact that it can be stopped and that statins have been around for 30 years and the American Society of Cardiology and the European Society of Cardiology both say that statins are more or less generally recognized as safe, it was a no-brainer for me to stop, to do what I can do to stop the progression of heart disease, especially given my family history, what I know that heart disease can do, how devastating it can be. And so it's really important for me to get that message out to other people. You know, every time I hear that, you know, someone has dementia or someone had a stroke, it just, you know, it saddens me because, you know, it's an information problem.
You showed your book to your congressman in Virginia, Don Beyer. You write about some actions that government could take to promote artery screening. What are they?
Well, it was interesting. I saw Don Beyer at a campaign event, and I showed him my book. I did want government to take some action. And he said, he told me that he gets his arteries screened every 2 years. So as a colleague said, well, that tells you something right there. That, you know, the people kind of at the, you know, high socioeconomic level know about this. So they can afford it, obviously. And it's a safety precaution. So there's 30 million Americans who get their health care at community health clinics. And the government could take the lead here and provide free screening. You know, one clinic that offers free screening in one or a few states. They offer it starting at a certain age, and then if the screening is negative, they offer it again for free in 5 years. So that could be a model for the U.S. government. The one problem is that the U.S. government, Congress, often defers to the United States Preventive Services Task Force to decide what preventive health measures deserve federal funding. And that task force, they apparently had a split decision about artery screening, because in the text of their decision, they said that, I'm paraphrasing here, artery screening can be useful to help doctors, useful information for doctors in deciding whether to offer treatment that can prevent heart attacks and strokes. But their final decision came out the other way. They gave artery screening a low grade, a failing grade, basically, because they said they didn't consider that value of preventing heart attacks and strokes in their analysis. I mean, like, I smack my forehead when I say that, because what they did consider was the value of artery screening for identifying patients that deserve to have vascular surgery to remove clogging within an artery.
Right.
They said it's not cost effective for that.
Yeah, it's interesting because it seems as though that preventative care could save so much in medical costs down the road. You know, perhaps that sort of thing will get more attention from lawmakers and regulators going forward. You know, you're a recent member of the National Press Club, Will. What prompted you to join the club, and what services at the club do you find useful in your endeavors?
Well, actually, I joined the club because I wanted to access a resource of media contacts so that I could mail a pitch about my book to book review editors. And I have gone to basically every, I've joined half a year ago. I've been going to every social event that I'm invited to since then. It's, you know, like one every 2 or 3 weeks. And I've had some good conversations. My colleagues at PV Magazine USA work all around the country. We get together, you know, once a year. And it's nice to, you know, find a community of people that can, that you can talk shop with. About journalism.
Well, Will, where can we learn more about this book?
Well, thanks for asking, Bill. I believe you can judge a book by its back cover. And the back cover of my book is available at the website yourarteries.com. And also at that website are links to retailers, online retailers that sell the book, including Amazon, where you can read a sample of the book, the beginning of the first chapter and the entire index. So you can see the depth of information in this book.
Sounds good. Worth a look. Will Driscoll, thank you for taking the time to join us on Update One to talk about your new book.
Thank you, Bill.
For Update One, I'm Bill Loveless. Thank you for listening.
You have been listening to Update One, the official podcast of the National Press Club, the world's leading professional organization for journalists and a vigorous advocate of press freedom worldwide. If you have any questions or comments about Update One, send an email to updateonepodcast@gmail.com.